Like streams in the desert, the scripture tells us and Solomon wrote, are wisdom, grace, and his love. We're glad to see you today. We're glad that you have come. Find in your Bibles, if you would, if you'd find Proverbs chapter 8. We are looking at Proverbs all this month, kind of a welcome to God camp, skills for living. And we're glad that you're here today. We know there are a couple of groups that are out, or college are on beach retreat. Also, young marrieds are on a retreat, but we're glad that you all are here today. So we're going to have kind of a cozy time together looking at God's Word and discovering what He has to say to us today. But Proverbs chapter 8, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 11. But keep your Bibles open to that chapter, or your phones particularly maybe right there ready to look at some other verses that are right around there as well. And this now is the Word of God from Proverbs 8, beginning with verse 1. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand beside the gates in the front of the town. At the entrance of the portal, she cries aloud, to you, O men, I call, and my cries to the children of man. O simple ones learning prudence, O fools learn sense. Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right. From my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are all straight to him who understands, right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. It was my first Sunday at that particular church, at the new church, and here is after I finished my first sermon, I come and I'm standing at the door and people are approaching. Here comes one of the ladies, first one in line just about, and she looks up at me without saying anything else. She said, too long. And then she walked away. And then other people are greeting. She gets about the middle of the line. Here she comes again. And this time she comes. The only thing she says is, too loud. And she just keeps walking away. Well, I'm not sure what to think. But there she comes again toward the end of the line. This time she looks at me. She says, too boring. Well, I'm not sure what to think. One of the deacons is standing there, you know, across the way watching, taking what's going to take place there. She kind of walks over to me. He kind of walks over to me and says, oh, don't worry about her, preacher. Said, she's not really right. She doesn't know what she's saying. All she repeats is what she hears other people saying. Well, I'll have to admit to you that did not really happen, at least not that I can remember or not that I can recollect. But today we'll talk about, be sure that we're careful about who it is that we need to listen to today. Proverbs is part of the wisdom literature, along with Job and Psalms, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. You might remember the story of Solomon. Solomon, of course, became king, the son of David, son of Bathsheba. He became king. Lord appeared to him in a dream and asked the question, what shall I give you? Well, let's read how Solomon answered that question. It'll be on the screen. I'll be reading from 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 7 and following. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 7 says, and now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of David my father. Although I am but a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too many people to be numbered or counted for a multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people? Verse 10 reads, it pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. And God said to him, because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches, or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right. Behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall rise after you. Solomon became the wisest man who ever lived on the earth, except for Jesus. People came from every corner of the globe in order they might be able to see Solomon in all his glory, to be able to behold all his riches, and to be able to hear Solomon speak wisdom. And they came and brought questions, the most famous being the Queen of Sheba. Well, we recognize, of course, Solomon wrote about 3,000 proverbs, we're told in Scripture. We have in the book of Proverbs, that which has become the inspired word of God, about 350 to 400 of those. He's also given credit for writing Ecclesiastes and the Song of Solomon. Much of Proverbs is to be understood as Solomon giving advice to his son or to his sons, Rehoboam being the son that became king of Israel after Solomon. We're told in Proverbs, above all else, get wisdom, even if it costs you everything. Understand today, as we talk about Solomon's wisdom, we're really talking about God's wisdom. And so as we read of this and we understand that this is the authoritative word of God, we're going to read it as such because it is. And we're going to read it as if God were speaking his wisdom to us because we understand he is today. Also, today, kind of as a bonus feature, we're going to memorize a verse of scripture today that you can take with you today and from now on. It comes from Proverbs 9 and verse 10, which we'll look some at that chapter as well. Proverbs 9 and verse 10 goes like this: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Proverbs 9 and 10. Now, you look alert and await. You're ready. You're not thinking about lunch today. You're here. You're ready for us. You're ready to participate. So let's say the first part of this verse. We'll put that up there for you. Say it. Go ahead and say it with me now. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Okay, you're starting. Now let's let that page go blank for just a moment. Now let's say it together. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It sounded like you really did know that part of that verse. That's good. It's repeated, of course, oftentimes in Scripture. To listen to wisdom is to listen to God. What's the opposite of wisdom? Well, it's foolishness, and as we'll see in a moment, it's also immorality. Who or what is the opposite of God as we talk about the wisdom of God? Well, we know it's the devil. We recognize evil or wickedness. So we're going to work our way through much of this chapter, looking at maybe some other verses, and let Solomon and the Lord tell us what happens or what does it mean to listen to wisdom, and also what happens when we listen to folly. So you've got some notes hopefully there and maybe help you as we go along. So let's ask the question, what happens when we listen to wisdom? She tells you the truth. What happens when you listen to wisdom? She tells you the truth. What happens when you listen to folly? She tells you lies. Solomon paints the picture here of two women. One is named Wisdom and the other is named Folly. Both are calling. So Solomon tells his son, and he tells us the benefits of listening to the voice of the Wisdom Woman, we're going to call her today. Kind of sounds like Wonder Woman, but the Wisdom Woman, and the downfall of listening to Lady Folly. Way back in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 20, it says this: Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets, she raises her voice. Wisdom's not hiding around the corner, but she's out in the open, calling to all those who will hear. We read in Proverbs 8 just a moment ago that she's at all the entrances. She's at the gate. She's on the heights. She is calling out. We read in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 2 just moments ago, she's at the crossroads. She's at the place where you and I will need to decide if we will take what Jesus called the road less traveled, or we will take that road which is the broad road or the wide way, sometimes the easy way. In fact, today might be a day of decision. Will you continue to go in the direction that you're going, which may not be a bad thing if you're seeking to follow God, if you're seeking to follow after Jesus? Or it may be at the crossroads today that the Lord has brought us to that you may need to get on a different road or take a different path or be brought back into the center of where the Lord would have you to be. Why would you take this road and pursue wisdom? Well, Solomon tells us why. Can we read a couple of verses we read a moment ago? Proverbs chapter 8, verses 6 and 7 says, "Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right, for my mouth will utter truth." Everything that she says is true. You can trust God's wisdom. Well, where do you get this truth? Where do you get wisdom? We talked a couple of weeks ago as we came to the end of our series on Psalm, where we read the longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119, that all gives tribute to the Word of God. And we recognize, of course, that the Word of God, the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, it is the authoritative Word of God. We hold it not just in high esteem, but in the highest esteem, that it is truth that is without error. Jesus is the living Word, and of course we listen to Him and we pay attention to His example as well. We'll talk a little bit more about Jesus and wisdom in just a moment. And then for every one of you who are followers of Jesus, not that everybody here is a follower and everybody listening today, but everyone who is a follower of Jesus, you have in your heart, in your body, your body houses and is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is at work always to make himself known so that we might be able to know the Holy Spirit. Why wouldn't wisdom woman not be obvious in many places? After all, God is omnipresent. He's everywhere and seeking to make himself known and his wisdom known. And so he should be obvious and we should be ready to follow him. But Solomon says there's another woman that's calling. She's Lady Folly. She's calling you and I in a different direction. What's the opposite of truth? Well, it's falsehood. And who is the father of lies? Well, folly means foolishness. It's foolish to follow the father of lies. But here, she's also known, Lady Folly, by a different name. Reading from Proverbs chapter 5, verses 3 through 8, the Lady Wisdom or the Wisdom Woman and Lady Folly are mentioned throughout these first 9 chapters particularly. But in Proverbs 5, verse 3 and 8 says, "For the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. Keep your way far from her and do not go near the door of her house." So she's also known as the forbidden woman or the immoral woman. Solomon spends at least 2 chapters telling his son, don't be misled. Don't go down to her house. Don't get in bed with her. She is misleading and is not telling you the truth. The results will not be good. And at first glance, it appears that he is telling his son to stay away from sexual immorality, and he is. But he's telling him and he's telling us even more. Often in the Old Testament, when the Israelites were disobedient, then the prophets would speak and God would speak, and he would accuse the Israelites of spiritual adultery. In other words, they were no longer following God, but they were being unfaithful to God, and they were following idols, or they were worshiping something else. How foolish it is to follow the immoral woman, or not to be fooled to follow the lies of this world, which are synonymous with the lies of Satan. Well, maybe you also need to know that in the Old Testament, particularly when those were accused of spiritual adultery, going after other gods, worshiping something else, more often than not, they were often involved in the regular kind of adultery also. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 13 and 17 says this. In Proverbs 9, it says, "The woman's folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. And she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant." She's not telling the truth. One of my prayers for myself and my family and others is often this: Lord, help us to be able to distinguish the difference between right and wrong, between what is true and what is not true and what is false, and then please give us the courage that we might be able to make the best choice. So you and I, today you and I will need to decide, will we listen to the one who tells the truth or the one who tells the lies? The lie can be awful attractive sometimes and pleasing, like the fruit in the Garden of Eden when Satan slithered up next to Eve as she was gazing upon that forbidden fruit and told her lie after lie until she was duped into falling to the very first sin, and Adam also. You won't want to follow the truth because Jesus is the truth. You remember that Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." And then you might remember before Jesus was crucified on that day, he stood before Pontius Pilate and they were talking about truth. And Jesus told Pilate these words, "Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Incentive enough, but there's even more." Let's take a look at our memory verse again, Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10, that says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. You're still awake. You've not left me yet. I can tell. I can hear you breathing. I see some of you looking this way. So you're ready. The second part of that verse says this, and you'll say it with me now if you're ready. Let's say it now. And knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. If we make that blank, we'll hear. And knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Where is it found? Proverbs 9 and verse 10. 9:10, maybe you can remember, we're in Proverbs. Those kind of go together. You're doing good. Why listen to wisdom? Because she will lead you correctly. She will lead you correctly and down the right path. Why not listen to folly? Because she will lead you astray. How important it is to identify godly wisdom and that which is truth. Hopefully today we'll see a vast contrast between what we know or is the wisdom of the world versus that which is the wisdom of God? We've already read in Proverbs, it's better than silver or gold or precious jewels, better than anything this world has to offer or the lady folly has to offer. Hopefully, even more so today, you'll be able to identify more closely what is God and what is not of God. But identifying wisdom, which is always true, never a lie, does not mean you'll follow wisdom. There's many a person, even those who are followers of Jesus, who have been led down a wrong path, even though they knew the better way. But look what Solomon said in Proverbs. We read through verse 11 a moment ago. Look at verses 12 through 14. Verse 12 reads, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil, pride and arrogance in the way of evil, and perverted speech I hate. I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. How important it is that we identify, of course, wisdom as knowing what to do with knowledge. The fear of the Lord we have defined again and again as the awe and respect for God, so much so that we want to do nothing but to please Him. Solomon says it's the fear of the Lord that hates evil, according to verse 13. This is a message for those who've placed their faith in the risen Lord Jesus, because only the followers of Christ have a new heart. We're born instead with a tendency towards sin. But once we're born again, then we're born with a tendency and a desire for God and godly wisdom. We are not completely changed yet. Don't stick a fork in us. We're not done. It's what the Bible calls sanctification. We're continuing to change, become more like Him. We've been put in that spiritual oven so that we might become more and more like Jesus. According to verse 13, we read it a moment ago already. What is the fear of the Lord? What happens when we have fear of the Lord? Well, we hate that which is evil. Do you hate evil? Well, you hate some evil. I'm pretty sure there are probably certain kinds of evil that you have a spiritual soapbox on that you'd like to tell other people about how you feel about that particular evil. You'd like to wonder and talk to some of those people who are certainly practicing those kinds of evil. There's some evil that you really hate. But I imagine that there's some evil that you still kind of like. Because if not, then there was no, you'd never be tempted. But the more you grow in wisdom and the holy fear of God, the more you will be able to choose wisely. But by human nature, sometimes we'd like to have a little bit of this or a little bit of that. But on our best days, we will not, because we love God and His wisdom more. Or I'll do that which I know pleases God, even though maybe I really don't want to do this thing that pleases God. But on our best days, we'll do it because we realize that's what God wants us to do. Boy, do we need some examples of this kind of thing? Well, how about some of that which we listen to, or some of that in which we watch? Maybe there's some things that we probably shouldn't listen to, things maybe that we shouldn't watch. But man, we might really want to, but on our best days, we want to please the Lord more. How about the things that come out of our mouth, the words that we say? Sometimes we really want to say that word, or sometimes we really want to spread that gossip, or sometimes we really want to tear somebody down. But on our best days, if we're following the Lord, love His wisdom more and love Him more, then we will instead will turn from those ways. Or maybe we want to go to this particular place or do this particular thing, but under God's strength, we on our best days, we want to recognize that we want to do what pleases Him. If you submit enough to the Lord, if you resist under God's strength and only under God's strength, pretty soon you, because of God's wisdom, because of who He is, will be hating more of evil and loving even more of God. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 14 and 15 says this, speaking of Lady Folly, she sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by who are going straight on their way. Notice it says their way, not God's way. God's wisdom does not lead you astray. But also you want to listen to wisdom because she offers great reward. Listen to wisdom because she offers great reward. If you listen to folly, she offers only death. She offers only death. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 17 and 18, kind of making our way through this chapter. Verse 17 says, Wisdom says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. And then verse 21, granting an inheritance to those who love me and filling their treasuries. Many have taken these verses and formed a theology that says your reward for following Jesus or for being good is an earthly reward, meaning God wants to bless you financially and wants to keep you healthy if you're good. If that is true, then I'm afraid that we are all doomed to live a life of poverty and to always be ill. Because if something good is going to happen to you, if you are good, then that's a hard pill to swallow, because we can always compare ourselves to others. There's always somebody worse than us, and there's always somebody better than us. I'm pretty sure that the standard is the Lord Jesus Christ. Only He is good. And brothers and sisters, if goodness was measured in height, then the best of us would only be an ant compared to the giraffe who is Jesus. Be thankful the Bible's wisdom does not declare a health and wealth gospel. Then be thankful that the Lord provides for us and we can trust Him for all things physically and spiritually. But He's already told us His wisdom, what He has to offer, is better than gold or silver, better than anything this world has to offer. So what kind of wealth is the reward? Well, we read it a moment ago. It's enduring wealth. What this world has to offer, you cannot take with you. There is a heavenly reward. And I get all kinds of questions about what is the heavenly rewards we're going to receive in heaven. Well, whatever rewards we receive, we're going to turn around and give praise to God. But our only incentive is to please the One who has loved us so much that He came and died for us and rose again. Verse 17, we read it a moment ago. I love those who love me. Wisdom says, wisdom is seeking. She says, I love those who love wisdom. It's godly wisdom. His word, it's His wisdom. It's Him. Do you love God? Do you love Jesus, the Son of God, the One who is God in the flesh? The enduring wealth, that which lasts, is the relationship with an eternal God, and all the riches of the kingdom are at your disposal. Knowing God will provide not just material things, but opportunities to represent Him and to be like Him. Let's say that you are healthy most of your life. Let's say that you're wealthy most of your life. You love people and people love you. Well, you have opportunity to use what God has given you in order that you might be able to serve Christ and serve others in Jesus' name. And you can tell others that whatever you have, it is only because of the grace of God, only because of how good He is. It all belongs to Him. And then humbly serve Him in the kingdom. Well, let's say you're not so healthy. Or let's say you have some financial problems all or some of your life. Or you have relational problems, or you have to get over some addiction or endure some injustice in your life. Well, you have opportunity to demonstrate great faith, show great love for the Lord in ways others may not have. And you may be more effective in showing others the wisdom of ways of God. Yours may be more effective in pointing people to Jesus as you listen to wisdom and not to folly. What is your reward? Well, you get to get in on what God is doing, and you have an eternal relationship with the King of Kings. But if you do not know Jesus today, you cannot have or know wisdom until you do. Turn your heart and turn your life over to Him. Ask Christ to forgive you of all your sins. The difference in living for Jesus is being a part of something today that really matters and that will last for eternity. Knowing Jesus is your reward, and for following Him and being with Him forever in heaven. On Wednesday nights, we're doing a study on what does the Bible say. And the next two Wednesday nights, we're doing a two-part study on heaven's gates and hell's flames. Let me just give you a preview as we talk about heaven. What is heaven going to be like? It's going to be heavenly. But by the grace of God, wisdom offers great reward. Spiritually, Scripture says, our treasuries will be full. But for those who don't listen to wisdom, instead they listen to Lady Folly. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 16 and 18 through 18 says this: whoever is simple, let him turn and hear, she says. And to him who lacks sense, she says. And again, Verse 17, stolen water is sweet, bread eaten in secret is pleasant. And verse 18 says, but he does not know that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. This is a warning. Lady folly, immorality, all who follow her leads to death. Well, it seems like we've heard that somewhere. We remember a New Testament passage that says, for the wages of sin is death. Well, that's the same concept that we're reading here. Doesn't it sound familiar? But then the scripture goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen to wisdom. She points you to Jesus. Listen to wisdom. She points you to Jesus. Listen to folly. She keeps you in the dark. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 19 says, the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. Yet we find in our focus chapter today, in Proverbs chapter 8, verses 23 through 29, it says, read these verses. Ages ago I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills I was brought forth, before he had made the earth with its fields, or the first of the dust of the world, when he established the heavens I was there, when he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limits so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Verse 30 says, then I was beside him. Well, who does that sound like? Wisdom, as it talks about in Proverbs, is the personification of Jesus. Jesus is wisdom in the flesh. Jesus, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, are eternal. They have no beginning, no ending. Before the mountains and before the hills were made, in the beginning was the Word, and that Word was Jesus. In the beginning was his wisdom. Listen to wisdom, woman. She gives you life and eternal life through Jesus. She gives you life and eternal life through Jesus. I want this to be more understandable than it is confusing. Solomon wanted to paint a picture for his son of two voices that he would hear. One would be of wisdom, and one would be a voice of folly. These instructions were inspired by God and part of Holy Scripture. We need to understand in the context of what's being said here that it does not appear that Solomon always followed his own advice or the wisdom that the Lord gave him. Solomon married 700 wives, had 300 concubines, many of those from foreign nations, and thus he followed foreign gods. If Solomon had followed his own advice, maybe his own son Rehoboam would have also. We don't know that for sure. But we sure want to give the next generation a good example so that they'll have a fighting chance. Last week we talked about the Proverbs, about all the Proverbs that talked about the family. We sure want to give our children every fighting chance to be able to follow of God. But consider this. If Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived on earth except Jesus, could make such wrong choices, what chances do we have to be able to follow through with godly wisdom? I'm here to tell you today, we have no chance except for Jesus. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 35, second to the last verse in that chapter, says, for whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. In case you're not convinced that Jesus is the personification of the wisdom that Solomon spoke of, there's only one that provides life. Jesus is the way and the only way. In John 10:10, he said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Do you remember when Jesus was 12 years old and he was left at the temple and they searched for Jesus for 3 days and they finally came and found him in the temple? He's confounding all the religious leaders who were there. And remember what Jesus said? He said, didn't you know I'd be here in the temple? Didn't you know that I have to be about my Father's business or in my Father's house? And then we don't have anything written about Jesus after he was 12 until he was age 30. 18 years, though, are summarized in this one verse in Luke 2, verse 52. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus grew in wisdom. I got to tell you, it's hard for me to put my mind around that Jesus had to get smarter, but it's part of his human yet divine nature. And then later, just before Jesus was arrested, he's debating with the Pharisees. Not so much debating as he's giving wisdom when they ask for a sign from Jesus. And then Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 42. It says, the queen of the south, speaking about the queen of Sheba that came to hear Solomon, the queen of the south will rise up at the judgment with this generation, condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here. That something is someone. It is Jesus. Are you convinced yet that every passage in the Bible, all the Old Testament, the New Testament, all points to Jesus? What's our verse that we're memorizing? Oh, you're about there. I could feel it. Everybody back awake. You ready? Okay, bring you back if you've gone away and come close. Come on, Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. Here it is. Once again, how about let's say it together? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Proverbs 9:10. Now let's go to a blank screen. Some of you got to wake up, rut your eyes. Come on, here we go. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Where is it found? Proverbs. Hey, you got that part the best right. You'd always look it up if you had to. It would be okay. Hit Google. We'll go right to it. Who will you choose to follow? Choose wisdom or choose folly? If you choose wisdom, you are choosing Jesus. He is the way to life and eternal life. If you choose folly, darkness and death await. If you choose wisdom plus folly, you need to know that it cannot be done. Many believers are trying to do both. And I think for us today, with the understanding of what Jesus Christ has done for us, Solomon is writing the inspiration. God is trying to tell us that now as believers in the Lord Jesus, you want to follow this wisdom, because many a believer followers of Jesus, may be genuine followers and have a relationship with Jesus, but they're trying to also follow the wisdom of this world. And we're here to tell you, and Jesus told us often, it cannot be done, that you cannot serve both. If you're following one, you're not following the other. So we understand that all these things we've talked about, if we follow him, all these things are yours, but you're living like they are not, and you're joining the voices of this world. If you're trying to do both, you're trying to point the world toward Lady Folly instead of Wisdom Woman, and you're not pointing to Jesus. Who you choose to follow, who you listen. Speaking of wisdom and storms, Jesus said toward the end of the Sermon on the Mount, the wise man built his house upon the rock. The rains came down, the floods came up, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, but the house did not fall because it had been built upon the rock. That rock is Jesus. Build your house upon that rock. And let it be our decision today. And if you got your notes, we did it in first person, so you could make this declaration in your heart. I choose wisdom. I choose Jesus alone. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for an opportunity to come and be able to worship you today. We thank you for the privilege of knowing the one who is godly wisdom. We thank you for Jesus, who died for us, rose again so that we might have life and we might walk in the wisdom of the ages. We pray, Father, today for all those who are here today that are believers in the Lord Jesus, may it be that we choose to go down the road that is calling us toward our Lord and Savior. We pray, Father, that we may be able to help others to be able to point others toward Christ so that they may be able to know him too. We pray, Father, that we may get in on what God is doing by following his wisdom. We pray, Father, also for those who may be here today or those who may be listening, don't know you as Lord and Savior, do not know that they have a home in heaven, cannot say that they have Christ in their heart. May today be the day that they call upon you, knowing that the best that this world has, this life has to offer, is greater than what the world has to offer. And know that there's a heavenly reward that is waiting, and it's eternity with our Lord and Savior. Thank you for loving us. It's in Christ's name we lift these prayers. Amen. Would you please stand? We're going to be singing our song of decision today. We encourage you today. I'm going to be standing down here at the front along with some of our ministry team. We'd be glad to talk with you if you need to make a decision today. Maybe you need to come accepting Jesus as your Savior and Lord. Maybe you still have some questions. Well, we'd be glad to talk to you about that. Maybe you've already accepted Christ, but you've not made it public or come for baptism. We encourage you to do that today. If you're looking for a church home, this is one way in which you can join Parkway. You just come, let us know that you want to join this church, and we'll tell you the next steps from there. Our altar is open. You can come pray with one of us as the Lord leads as we sing together.